Have Comrades Marathon, today's Pentecost. It's all happening today. So it's a little bit upside down this morning, but there we go. So I just want to, you know, tell you something about God as I start out. So God in the Bible, we read about God the Father. God the Father is often referred to as King. That's why the picture's a crown. And we see him very active in the Old Testament. And then we hear about God the Son, Jesus Christ, who comes in the incarnation and is among us. He lives among us, dwells among us. And then he promises one that will come after him, the Holy Spirit. And we hear about the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're talking about this morning. God, the Holy Spirit. They all three in one. That's why we're called Trinitarians. And it's okay to be a Trinitarian, okay. So three in one. God, three in one. The scripture reading this morning is Acts 2, verse 2 to 13. And we're going to read about this moment that we would have celebrated next Sunday when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. This is the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." So it's 50 days after Christ had risen from the grave. Pentecost, Ascension Day is 40 days, and then 10 days later, we get to Pentecost. And it's the first time that the church has experienced the Holy Spirit being poured out, I'm going to add some words here, in the New Testament after Christ had risen. This is not the first moment that the Holy Spirit appears. It's not something new. It's something new for the New Testament church. We first read of the Holy Spirit being poured out in the book of Exodus, believe it or not. And so throughout the Old Testament, you read of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there at creation. He's poured out in different people's lives as we go through the Bible. He's there in John 1. And now there's this moment for the new church when the Holy Spirit is poured out. This has happened before. But when it happens, it's remarkable because it fulfills a whole lot of things that Jesus said. And it's a new start for this early church. Two things that we learn from this scripture. The first thing is that they were all together. So they were gathered together. And I think there's often a place where God works when we are gathered together. God works outside of our gathering. But I want to challenge you this morning that there's going to be a place where I'm going to say, what is God doing in your life? And because we're gathered together, I'd like you to be waiting, just like these folk were waiting, to see what God is going to do this morning. We're Presbyterians. We like to be orderly. We only clap if 10 other people are clapping. We don't often hear tongues in our church. When we do, we get scared, nervous. But today, just wait on God. Because I believe something happens as we gather. And as we expect, I would like you, to, as I'm preaching, to be expectant that the Holy Spirit will do something this morning. We'll see what happens a little bit later. So they were obedient, they stayed, and they waited. And then the Holy Spirit comes in power. Tongues of fire, well, what seem to be tongues of fire, often pictures about Pentecost will have people with little flames on their head or just be pictures of flames. That's why that we have those pictures. Sound like rushing wind. And then the speaking in tongues. I just want to go there for a moment, speaking in tongues, just so that you are comfortable with what I believe. Two dangers that this whole tongues thing can have, here they are. The Holy Spirit comes at a different time to when we become Christians. So because it happened in the New Testament the first time like this, the people were the disciples, they followed Christ. And then at another time, the Spirit is poured out. Some people believe it still happens like that today. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't see it happening again in the New Testament this way. It's a single event from here on out. And I believe that when I become a Christian, I say, Lord, be Lord of my life. Lead and guide me. I get the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen later on. I can later on, like we're going to do today, say, Holy Spirit, do something fresh. Do something new in my life. That's okay. But we get the Holy Spirit. It's a package deal. It's not like we just get Jesus. We get the Trinity. We get God alive in our lives. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we know a lot about the Holy Spirit because the New Testament tells us what the Holy Spirit does in our lives as we come to that place. So I've been asked, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well-intentioned folks who will ask that question. And I normally say, I was baptized the minute I accepted Jesus Christ. So that's how I read it. That's what I believe. And then there's another danger, and that's that the sign of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Because it happened here that they all spoke in tongues, people will say, well, that's how it has to happen every time. Scared of this next statement going badly wrong. I've never spoken in tongues. But I believe I've got a living relationship with the Holy Spirit. He manifests in my life in other ways. So we don't want to fall into that trap. Because some people will say, do you speak in tongues? I say, no. And then automatically I get the back seat. They don't look me in the eye after that, like half-grade Christian. And he's a pastor, for goodness sake. Woo. Anyway, so just don't get stuck on those things. About this bit of cardboard that I held up a little while ago, some of you might have been thinking, how the heck does that work? Hey? Anybody thought that? Anybody want to look at it afterwards? You see, there's a mystery involved with that. And there's a mystery involved with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you things about the Holy Spirit this morning, and you might think, okay, I've got it now. But understand, we're talking about Almighty God of the whole universe. We're not going to get it all. We're not going to understand fully what the Holy Spirit does and why he does things and why he doesn't do other things. There's a mystery involved. We have to accept that nowadays. Nowadays, we want to know exactly everything to the last bit. And can I just say, if you don't know everything about God, that's okay. There is a mystery about the Christian faith, lots of things actually, that we've just got to say, by faith I accept it. One day God might reveal this to me, might only happen when I get to heaven, might not even be important when I get to be with him. So understand there's a bit of a mystery. So what were these tongues? Well, these tongues, fortunately, now the word in Greek for tongues that is used here and in other places in the New Testament is the same word. But these tongues are languages that the people who were there from all of these different places, those big names. You see, when you read names out the Bible, it doesn't matter if they sound wrong to you, just read with confidence. That's what somebody taught me once. So if you ever got to read a list of names, you just chuck them out. Nobody really knows how to say something. But there's this whole list of names. The Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia. Anyway, all of those people, and they're amazed and perplexed because they understand what is happening, what is being said in their own languages. And they say, but aren't these all Galileans who are talking? But we hear them in our language. So this place where tongues happen, it was different languages that were understood. Now this has happened in this very church. It was before my time, but there was a man, Eric told me the story, a Jewish man who had been coming to the church for a while and said, Lord, if you are real, then prove that. And he was sitting over here, and somebody spoke in tongues. And nobody knew what he was saying. But this man said, hey, I didn't know you were Jewish speaking. And he understood. Nobody else understood what it was, but he understood, because that tongue was something that he understood in his language. And so he was convinced at that moment that God is real. So here, the tongues were to prove that God is real, that God works in powerful ways. They might have just been babbling, but the people were like, I understand this in my own language. I'm so lost. It's okay. Okay, and then this is what was promised. Remember Acts 1 verse 8? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. The power is what is poured out here. The power of the Holy Spirit is first experienced by the New Testament church at this moment. And then the people are amazed and perplexed. Hey, what does this mean, they say? What does this mean? One person jokingly, most probably he worked for SAB or something, shouted from the back, they're drunk! It's a joke, Mike. Okay, but this is in the morning, and these people they're acting like a lot of drunk people. What does this mean? And what happens is that at this point we have the first sermon preached. It's awesome. Peter gets up and he tells them, hey guys, we're not drunk. This is what happened. Jesus Christ, who you crucified, rose. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. He goes through the whole gospel message. He preaches. And then he has the first altar call ever. Acts 2, 38 and 39 and 40. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God would call. And then I think as an afterthought, just to add some punch, he said, save yourself from this corrupt generation. You know, pastors, you know, they just want to make sure that you get the message. So he has the first altar call. Remember, the promise is you'll be my witnesses. I'll come in power and you'll be my witnesses. First altar call happens. And then what happens? The next scripture, Acts 2:41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The Holy Spirit is promised. The Holy Spirit comes in power because all the people are together. He preaches this message. He has the altar call. He says, come, save yourselves. And boom, 3,000 people respond. So when God says the Holy Spirit will come in power, that's what we see happening. The Holy Spirit coming in awesome power. I believe that this was the greatest day for the church, the moment that this happened. You know, Jürgen Klopp said, and I quote, best night of our professional lives.
Amen.
But this was the greatest day in history. The moment that the church received the power of the Holy Spirit. And it didn't just happen then and then kind of finished now. We still have the Holy Spirit working in and through us today, right now. What else does the Holy Spirit do? So there's a whole lot of things that the New Testament promises us. I'm just going to whip through some here. The first thing then, the Holy Spirit gives us salvation. So we know that we accept Jesus Christ. We do know that. But here in John 3 verse 5, Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates us into new life. The second thing then, the Holy Spirit indwells us. So as we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, lead and guide me. Take away the sin in my life. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. At that moment, we get the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Isn't that lovely? It's incredible that we can't get away from God at that point. He's with us. And even if we run, preached that a while back, he follows us. He's with us. He doesn't leave us. We're also told that the Holy Spirit seals believers. So the Holy Spirit in us, you remember what a seal was back in the day? The king would put some hot wax on a letter and then stamp it with his ring. And there would be a seal to say, this is an important document this is a document that is sealed by me, special to me. And so that's what we are as well. We have the Holy Spirit who seals us. So as we go through life, we look different in the spiritual realm. We're not the same. Teaches us. Holy Spirit teaches us. Hey, as we go to God's Word and we read God's Word, I guarantee you the words that God wants you to hear and obey and follow are made alive by the Holy Spirit. So as I go to the Word of God, He teaches me through the Word of God. And He hits me with the words that He wants to speak to my heart. If you've ever read Scripture again and again and again, the same Scripture over and over, every time there's something brand new that grabs you from that Scripture. And that's the Holy Spirit bringing those words alive in your heart. He guides us. Whew. Hey, not towards the special parking place. We love that, and we hope for that. But in life, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. You know, we have to listen, and we have to say, Lord, where are you taking me? What am I doing next? What is the next thing for me? And rest assured, if we listen, God will lead and guide us. Maybe it's through His Word. Maybe it's as we pray. Maybe it's through another Christian. Maybe it's through a sermon. That could happen. Maybe it's through something you hear on a Christian television station or on the radio as there's a focus broadcast or something. But God leads and guides us. If we will just listen, stop and listen. Say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? He reveals Jesus, John 16, verse 14. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what will make known to, what he will make known to you. So if we want to know more about Jesus Christ, we say, Holy Spirit, teach us more about Jesus. He convicts us. This is the part we don't really like, but as we decide we're going to do a little bit of sin, we kind of go, whew, this doesn't feel right. Something inside of us is saying, hey, don't do that. That's not the best I've got for you. That's not the thing I want you to do. Don't do that. Step away. Turn around. Flee. We know that. You've had that feeling. Man, this is most probably where the Holy Spirit is the most vocal with us, fortunately, because He keeps us away from those speed humps in our lives. I did speed humps like this, sorry. Speed humps in our lives. Those holes, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, whoa, my precious child, stop. Stop. Spiritual gifts. We all have gifts that God has given us. Every single one of us have got something that God has said, this I give you. This is special and unique. You are a teacher. You have got the gift of intercession. You have got the gift of helps. You've got the gift of leadership. You've got the gift of healing. You've got the gift of tongues. We do believe in all of those gifts in this church. And so God gives us those gifts as He sees fit. And then He expects us to do something with them. When you get a gift at Christmas time, get excited, just put it on the mantle. You know, it's a Lamborghini. Just don't drive it ever. That's what we do sometimes with the gifts that God has given us. And we can ask, what is it, Lord? What have you given me? Show me. Reveal these things to me. And then as we serve in our gifts, we don't get tired and run down and whatever. Because God has given me that gift. God has said, this is what I want you to do. This is the thing that I've given you. Work. Do this thing. We don't get hung up on stuff when we're doing what God wants us to do. We don't go, oh, I'm so tired of doing Kids Zone now. No, God gives us that gift. We can serve there for a lifetime because it's the gift that He's given us. He's empowered us to do that work. Intercedes. Ever been scared of praying? Ever been scared of putting your hand up in church? Ever been scared of praying? Lots of people are. But you know, if you've ever been asked to pray, you can simply say quietly to the Holy Spirit, help me. Because that's what the Scripture promises, that He will intercede for us. that he will help us as we come to that place. If you sit down and you think, yeah, I don't know what to pray. To say, Lord, what do I pray? Boom, Holy Spirit springs into action. I read this quote that I thought was quite good. God wants full custody, not just weekend visits. So it's all very well to hear a great sermon about Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, what he does and what he can do in your life, and get excited and go to coffee and then go home and then to forget it until next week. Or to hear the message and go, wait a second, what is it exactly, Lord, that you're trying to do in my life this morning? What have you revealed to me that's brand new? What, Holy Spirit, are you going to do? So as we go to the table just now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to say, Lord, what is it, Holy Spirit, that you want to do? This is a work of the Holy Spirit that takes place as we go to this table. It's not the bread. It's not the juice. It's the Holy Spirit. As we take the bread and we drink the juice, those are signs of something invisible happening inside of us. And it's when the Holy Spirit works. Oh, now I have the final thought, which I said was, oh, it's gone. Didn't even put it on the screen because it was not important. But the mystery. Don't get hung up on trying to fathom God. I've said this in the beginning. I kind of took it out of turn. But anyway, don't get hung up on that. Rather just say, Lord, what is it you want to do? So I've got these 9 different things that I spoke about this morning. Okay? Salvation, he indwells us, seals believers, teaches, guides, reveals Jesus, convicts, spiritual gifts, intercedes. And so we're going to the table. And I'd love that. And what I've asked the guys to do, and they were gracious in doing this, those 9 words are going to be on the top half of the screen while we do our communion song. So while we do the song, maybe you want to sing it. Maybe you just want to look at those words and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in my life today? Maybe you can just run through them in your mind. Just say, Lord, what do you want to do here? Which one of these things? And there's a lot there that God can do. I mean, we get to spiritual gifts. I mean, some people list 15 different spiritual gifts. So if you think that's a big list, I could have added those as well. But just say, Lord, what is it that you want to do? Maybe he's going to convict you of something that's in your life that's just not right. Maybe he's going to reassure you of the fact that the Holy Spirit is with you, that he's sealed you. Maybe he'll just make himself real to you, indwell you again. You'll go, wait, I feel him again. Yes, Holy Spirit, I feel that you're with me. That might be what God does. He might give you a new spiritual gift. He might lead and guide you into the one that you need to be serving in. But use this time to say, Lord, what is it this morning? Speak to me. Work in my life. So maybe the team can come and join me while I pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that, Holy Spirit, you are with us, that you're always with us, not just on this one Sunday, but all the time. But thank you, Lord, that we can focus on you this morning. Holy Spirit, that we can just look to you again and say, come, Holy Spirit, in your power. Do something fresh in our lives. Lord, as we look at those words, as we think about you, as we focus on you, come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on us, we pray. Amen.